If you are a follower of Jesus, you are aware it is written that every knee will bow to Him and confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is declared in Philippians 2:9-11, where it is affirmed that this is one of the reasons for Jesus' exaltation. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that, or in order that, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now let me be clear about this. The bowing of every knee to Jesus is not a goal, but an appointment. This is something that is going to happen, and there's no chance that it will not. Speaking through Isaiah, the Lord declared that He had appointed that every knee would bow to Him and every tongue confess or acknowledge that He's Lord. Isaiah 43:23 reads, I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Paul cites this text in Romans 14:11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. The psalmist even cried out in Psalm 72:11, yea, all kings shall fall down before Him, all nations shall serve Him. There is not the slightest chance, therefore, that this will not happen. Furthermore, this will be done whether the individual wants to do it or not. First, what does it mean to bow the knee to Jesus? Bowing the knee to Jesus is recognizing and honoring Him for who He is. It is the outward acknowledgement that He is precisely the one God said He is. It is public admission that the one bowing admits himself to be lesser than Jesus and in subjection to Him. This will take place whether the individual has received Jesus or not. In fact, the only reason men do not bow before Him now, submit to Him, and obey Him, is because they cannot see Him as He really is. Their hearts and minds have been so blinded that they see no need to acknowledge He is Lord over them. Those who are in such a state have stooped beneath the demons who know who He is and bow before Him even now. At the appointed time before an assembled universe, every living thing will bow before Jesus, admitting that He's over them and holds their destiny in His hand, whether they're ready for His judgment or not. This includes the forces of evil and all who died, as well as holy angels and all who are living in the earth at this present time. None will be excluded from this bowing but God the Father Himself. Thus Philippians 2:10 says that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. That covers every realm that's occupied by personalities. Those who have rejected gathering together with fellow believers will be in attendance at this gathering. Those who felt themselves above leaving other pursuits to stand before the Lord in humility and worship Him will be standing in this group, confessing before God and the angels that Jesus is, in fact, the Lord of all, the very one they rejected and spurned. Second, let us examine why this is going to happen. For there's a reason for every knee ultimately bowing before the Lord Jesus Christ. On the appointed day when every knee bows to Jesus, the people will do what they ought to have been doing all along. The truth of the matter is that God has highly exalted the Lord Jesus Christ. He is occupying the loftiest place, being seated at the right hand of God. In 1 Peter 3:22, we read that He's gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him. Matthew 28:18 informs us that He has been given all power in heaven and earth. Ephesians 1:21-22 affirms He is presently far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and that God has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church. That is, God has given Jesus to the church as the one who is over everything and everyone. He is over the enemies of the church and can remove them with but a word. He's over the holy angels and can summon them at any time to work in behalf of those who love God and keep His commandments. When Jesus comes again, He said in Matthew 24:30, it would be with power and great glory. Luke 9:26 tells us Jesus will come in His own glory and in His Father's and of the holy angels. That is, He will come in every bit of His own resplendent glory. He will also be accompanied by all the glory of God the Father, which, like His own glory, has never before been seen by men. He will also be attended by the glory of an innumerable company of angels whose glory also dwarfs anything that has ever been seen by men. Now, listener, that's a lot of glory. It confirms that Jesus' coming will be anything but secret, for it is not possible to hide the glory of God when it has been displayed. Those who teach a secret return of Jesus must do their homework, for they've embraced an imagination. The first time Jesus entered the world, he entered secretly. He will not do so the second time, for there'll be no need for him to do so. The next time he comes, God will be showing him openly, and every eye shall see him, as stated in Revelation 1:7. The Bible nowhere suggests a secret return of Jesus. That's something men have assumed. You cannot have a glorified Christ coming back secretly, for those are contradicting concepts. If a humble Jesus, taking upon himself the likeness of sinful flesh, could be seen clearly, how is it that anyone imagines that a Jesus returning in glory could be undetected or hidden? God has spoken to this matter, informing us that he has appointed a day when he will show Jesus publicly. That is, he will make known what Jesus is at this present time. The statement is found in 1 Timothy 6:14 and 15, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his own times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Behold what Paul has told young Timothy, to keep the commandment until Jesus appears. Not until the church is secretly raptured, but until Jesus, the appearing of our Lord Jesus. That is, so far as the next significant event on the divine calendar is concerned, it is the appearing of Jesus. Everything up to that is really incidental. That appearing, he declares, is a showing or an open revelation that God is making of Jesus. And what is it that will be shown, made known, or manifested? It is who Jesus is at this present time, the exalted and enthroned Christ. Listen to the description. Who is the blessed and only potentate? A potentate is one who possesses all of the power. There is no power that he does not allocate or possess. There is no competing power that has not already been soundly defeated by him. This is a Jesus who cannot be threatened or opposed. There is no personality or a group of personalities that can carry out a military initiative against him. He's the only potentate. When it comes to other kings and lords, they're all, every one of them, subservient to him. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. That is who Jesus is, not who he's going to be. God has made him both Lord and Christ already, as Peter pointedly declared in Acts 2:36. When you read that Jesus has been highly exalted and made Lord in Christ and has been given a name that's above every name, you're reading about a Jesus that cannot possibly be exalted any higher than he is at the present time. It only remains for that exaltation to be seen and known, and everyone will be aware of it, that it is a very real exaltation, even though circumstances may seem to suggest otherwise to them. It is not possible for anyone to be saved, delivered from the power of darkness, and brought to glory by a Savior who is not, in fact, over all. Those who suggest otherwise have betrayed an abysmal and inexcusable level of ignorance. This exaltation is why every knee will bow. It's because every knee must bow before him, else he's not really over all. This is why Jesus must be unveiled, shown, or made known to be exactly what the gospel declares him to be. God has not lied in declaring the present enthronement of the Son, and at the appointed time everyone will know it, confess it, and bow before him. Third, let us consider how unreasonable it really is to refuse to bow before Jesus now, to reject his word, fail to keep and obey his commandments, or resist his authority. There are thousands of people in this very area who stubbornly refuse to bow to Jesus. They reject his authority, will not obey him, and will not serve him. When the Lord's day comes, they go about their own business. When the gospel's preached, they shut their ears. When a discussion concerning Jesus occurs in their presence, they go somewhere else, disinterested and often even disgusted that anyone had the audacity to discuss Jesus Christ in their presence. Here I want to show you how foolish such people are. They've stooped beneath Satan's demonic forces who oppress men. Further, there's no record of Satan, evil spirits, demons, or any other dark power that has ever ignored Jesus. Not a single one. Whenever they have confronted Jesus Christ, they always did something reacting to the presence. Yet they did it in a submissive stance and never one time attacked Jesus or fought against him. even when he was in the most humble form and was not attended by resplendent glory. When Satan tempted Jesus, he made no effort to make a show of force. He did not attack Jesus. He did not marshal the forces of hell against him. Instead, he tempted him, using words, not power. He asked him to prove he was the Son of God by turning stones into bread. He took Jesus to the highest point of the temple and challenged him to cast himself down to the ground, stating that the Scripture said the angels would not let him dash his foot against a stone. He then took Jesus to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world together with their glory, declaring that he would give them all to him if Jesus would just bow down and worship him. He made no effort to force Jesus to do these things, not even the most minuscule effort. And when Jesus had denied all three of Satan's temptations, Satan left, utterly defeated. It is evident that the old tempter knew he could not stand against Jesus, even when he was in a human form, and could experience hunger, thirst, and temptation. He knew who Jesus really was, and that he had no power over the Son of God, even when he was in a humble state. The demons who dominated certain people, making them utterly helpless, made absolutely no effort to attack Jesus. Once when Jesus faced a man who had a legion of demons, the demons moved the man to run out and meet Jesus. He bowed down and worshipped before him and cried out, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come to torment us before the time?" Mark's gospel records them saying, "Let us alone! What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." When Jesus expelled these demons, they even pleaded with him. Mark 5:10 records them beseeching Jesus that he would not send them away out of the country. It was then that they asked Jesus to allow them to enter into a herd of swine, and he gave them permission to do so. Once they'd entered the swine, they ran violently down a steep place into the sea and were drowned, a stampeding herd of 2,000 swine. Those demons with whom men could not contend were docile and obedient before the Son of God, even when he did not appear to men to be who he really was. At that time, Jesus had not yet been exalted. In fact, he had not yet died, bruising the head of the serpent. And yet the powers of hell submitted to him, offering not so much as a second of aggressive resistance. Now, dear listener, how must it appear in heaven when weak and puny men refuse to bow the knee to the exalted Christ? How must holy angels view those who entertain no interest in the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus? Demons know of the day of judgment and dread its coming. That's why they asked Jesus if he had come to torment them before the time. How must foolish and obstinate men appear even to them who have no regard at all for the day of judgment and do not ponder the revealed fact that God is going to judge the world by the glorified Christ, as attested in Acts 17:31? Do you not see that it is totally unreasonable to reject Christ? God has told us Jesus is exalted. He has revealed that all competing powers are subject to him. He has told us Christ's objective is to bring us to glory because he desires that we be where he is. He's clarified the nature of the devil, that he is cunning and crafty and is to be resisted. He's also revealed that the heavens and earth will pass away and all of us will stand before this exalted Christ to give an account of ourselves, whether it is good or bad. There is no need for anyone to be in the dark on these matters. None at all. Now I ask you, does it not make a lot of sense to bow your knee to Jesus now and ask him what he wants you to do? And if by God's grace you've done this, are you not glad that you have? If you bow now, you will bow with joy then. Listener, prepare to meet your Christ.